Jane, age 14. I could die today. That was the first thing that shot through her head that morning, same as it had every morning since she dragged herself back to the shuttle 2 weeks before. The words showed up the second she was awake enough to start thinking, and they stuck with her all day, like a heartbeat, like a bug crawling on her ear, until she fell back into bed at night, relieved that she'd been wrong. Okay, she'd think, today wasn't it. Then she'd sleep. Sleep was good. Sleep meant not thinking. But then Owl would bring the lights up, and the whole thing started over again. I could die today. She hadn't left the shuttle since she got back. Her leg was still weak and painful, but it was healing, and the splint she'd thrown together allowed her to hobble around. She'd fixed the weapon, too, and she had the means to build a new wagon. She could go out if she stayed close to home, except she couldn't. She couldn't go out. She couldn't do anything. Owl hadn't said anything about Jane staying home, which was weird. Usually Owl nagged her about the chores she hadn't done or stuff that needed fixing, but not now. Jane was glad of that, though she hadn't said so. She tugged her worn blanket around her shoulders and headed for the kitchen. She opened the Stacy and stared at the shrinking stacks of dog meat and mushrooms. She needed to go out. She needed to get more food, but she couldn't do that either. Her stomach churned. She was hungry, but everything in the Stacy looked like too much work. She hadn't done any dishes either, which she'd have to do before cooking. That would take forever, and she was hungry now. She grabbed a handful of raw mushrooms and shoved them in her mouth. They were gross that way. She didn't really care. "Are you going out today?" Owl asked. Jane pulled the blanket closer and chewed, avoiding eye contact. "I don't know," she said, though she knew the answer wouldn't be yes. She thought about going back to bed, but it'd been a while since she'd done laundry, and the sheets were grossing her out. Plus, she knew what would happen if she went back there. She'd just stare at the ceiling, brain all fuzzy and stupid, thinking the same thing over and over. I could die today. She'd be stuck in that thought, and everything would get hot and fuzzy, and she couldn't breathe right. An owl would try to help, but nothing would make it better, and then Jane would just feel even worse for making such a fuss. And, yeah, no. She needed something else to fill up her brain. She lay down on the couch. The sim cap lay on the floor nearby. "What do you want to play?" Owl asked. Jane was officially sick of Scorch Squad, and all the other story sims Owl had sounded too loud and fast. Jane felt tired just thinking about them. She didn't want danger and explosions. She wanted quiet. She wanted her head to shut up. She wanted a hug. "Do you want me to pick something for you?" said Owl. "No," Jane said. She closed her eyes. It's stupid." "What is?" Jane sucked her lips, embarrassed. "Can I play Big Bug Crew?" She couldn't see Owl's face, but she could hear the smile. "You got it." Jane put on the cap, and the world blanked out. Everything went warm, soft yellow. Alain and Manjiri and little monkey Pinch jumped out from nowhere. "Jane!" Manjiri cried. "Alain, look! It's our old friend Jane!" Alain reached up to touch her forearm. He was so small. Had she been so small?
"Good to see you, Jane," Alain said. "Wow, you've gotten tall."
Pinch ran up her back and hugged her head, chirping gleefully.
"It's good to see you guys, too," Jane said.
She pulled Pinch off her head and held him against her chest.
His fur felt totally unreal, and she loved every bit of it. He crooned and wiggled his toes as she scritched his ears. Manjeri pulled out her scrib and flipped it towards Jane. A star map glittered in bright, bold colors.
"We're so excited for you to be with us on our latest adventure!"
"The Big Bug Crew and the Planetary Puzzle!" Jane shouted along with the kids. The Sims title appeared in midair, bold red letters shimmering with confetti. The kids took her hands, and she started singing with them at the top of her lungs. "Engines on, fuel pumps go, grab your gear, there's lots to know!" Jane couldn't get the words out past that. She didn't know if it was the kids or the monkey or what, but suddenly she was 10 years old again. She was 10 years old, and the entire world was crumbling down. The kids did something she'd never seen them do before. They stopped singing the theme song.
"Jane, are you okay?"
Alain asked. Jane let out a sob.
Why? What was wrong with her?
She sat down on the fake floor, face in her hands.
"Jane," Manjeri said.
Jane could feel Pinch's furry paw on the top of her head.
"If you're feeling bad, that's okay. Everybody has bad days sometimes."
Somewhere in Jane's head, she was real interested that she'd triggered a script she'd never seen. But that tiny flicker was drowned out by whatever this sobbing, uncontrollable bullshit was.
"Is there a grown-up you can talk to?" Alain asked.
"No!"
Jane didn't know why she was yelling.
"There's nobody! There's nobody here!"
"Well, we're here," Manjeri said. "You should talk to a real person when you can, but it's okay to make yourself feel better with imagination, too."
"It's just..."
Jane wiped her nose on her sleeve, knowing it did nothing for the snot that was probably running down her lip back in the real world.
"I'm so scared. I've always been scared, and I'm so tired. I'm so tired of always being afraid. I just want to have people. I want somebody to make me dinner. I want a doctor to look at my leg and tell me to my face that it's okay. I want to be like you. I want to live on Mars with a family and go on vacations.
You both always said the galaxy was a wonderful place, but it's fucking not. It can't be. If it's got places like this one, if it's got people who make people like this!"
She pointed at her sun-scarred face, her bald head.
"Do normal humans know? Do they even know this planet is here? Do they know that any of this is going on? Because I'm gonna die here!"
Saying the words out loud made her even more afraid, as if putting them out into the world would make them happen. But they were there now, and it was true.
"I'm gonna die here, and nobody will care."
"I care."
Jane turned around, and her mouth fell open.
"Owl?"
It was Owl's face, but no longer flat on a wall. She looked like a person, a whole person, with a body and clothes and all of it. There was nothing real about her, not any more real than the Big Bug Kids. But she was there. Owl smiled, kind of shy.
"What do you think?"
she said, gesturing at herself. Jane wiped her nose again.
"How?"
"I got the idea when you started playing the adult Sims. I figured out how to build myself a character skin and paste it into the base code. No different from reorganizing memory banks, really. And I'm not in here. This is just a puppet." She sat down on the floor next to Jane. The kids, who had apparently run out of script, sat down too, smiling in stasis. Jane couldn't stop staring.
"Can I?"
She reached a hand out, hoping. Owl shook her head with a sad smile. "I couldn't make this tangible, but we can share the same place, at least. That's something, right?" Why haven't you done this before? I thought, see, you enjoyed the other Sims so much, and I wanted to share them with you. I thought maybe if we could play together, you might... Owl's voice trailed off. I was worried you'd think it was a dumb idea. I've just been annoying you lately. I figured you'd rather play on your own. Jane almost threw herself at the owl puppet before she remembered it couldn't hug her back. I'm sorry, Jane sobbed. I'm so sorry. Shh, Owl said, sitting next to her. Everything's okay. You've got nothing to be sorry for. I've been such an asshole, Jane said. Owl laughed, and Jane laughed, too, through the tears. And I was stupid out there. I was so stupid, and I knew better. And I almost left you all alone. Owl put her puppet hand on Jane's back. It didn't feel like anything, but knowing Owl wanted to have a hand to put there was good enough. When you didn't come home that night, I thought I'd lost you. But I never thought you left. I know you wouldn't do that, not without saying why. She placed an empty kiss on Jane's scalp. That's not how family works.